This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm very pleased to have in the studio today two guests who have joined us to talk about the minimum wage debate in Las Cruces. As you all know, because we've been covering it on KRWG News, there is an effort to raise the minimum wage in Las Cruces, and we have two guests today who are helping in that effort. They're very familiar with efforts to raise the minimum wage because they saw it firsthand and helped in this regard in the northern part of the state. I have with us today Marcia Garcia of Progress Now New Mexico and Javier Benavidez of the Center for Civic Policy. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much, Fred. It's great to be here and appreciate your work here in this community.
It's great to be here with you. And Javier, you and I have talked on the phone before for phone interviews for this show. So it's great to meet you in person and have you here in person in
Likewise.
The studio. And Marcia as well. We're meeting for the first time. So it's great to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Marcia, let's start with you. And Javier, I'm going to ask you this question too. Tell me about how your group, in your case, Marcia, Progress Now New Mexico, decided to get involved in this issue.
Okay. Thank you. That's a really great question. How us over at Progress Now New Mexico decided to get involved with the minimum wage increase is that, you know, that's one of the core progressive values that that any progressive has, and that's here in New Mexico, that's across the country. And the fact that here in New Mexico, we have so many minimum wage workers, we have so many workers that are underpaid, that are overworked and underpaid, that have to work so many jobs to just make ends meet. This was truly something that we couldn't stay out of. So we're very happy to start working with all the other organizations that have already been plugged in, that have been carrying this torch for so long. So this is just something that we couldn't stay away from.
Javier, how about you for your group? And again, that's the Center for Civic Policy. Folks, for both of your groups, can go online, Google that, and they'll come up with your websites.
That's right. I would have to agree with what Marcia said, that CCP is a statewide organization. We tend to mostly focus on the state legislature and those level of efforts. But when we heard about Las Cruces and some friendly organizations of ours taking up this fight, we couldn't help but support what they're doing. It really is an opportunity for this city to define itself, to make a statement about how it values the hard work of its minimum wage workers, and we just thought it was too big an opportunity for us to miss up to miss. And so we've been in touch with CAFE and are just supporting them in a myriad of ways. But you know, I think it's an important opportunity to take the fight to a local level because unfortunately we couldn't get it past the state legislature. Although there are, you know, various cities making statements like this, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Bernalillo County, and now Santa Fe County. So it's definitely a movement also at the national level. I think we'll hear a lot this week about that.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about some of the state developments as we continue our conversation. And we should mention a CAFE for those folks who are not familiar with that group. That is the group spearheading the petition process. They've been involved in many interviews with KRWG over the last few months, and it's Communities in Action and Faith. And Marcia, I know you'll be working with the group as well as Javier. Tell me exactly what you will be doing.
So at this point, we are here in a support capacity, which is very exciting because, as you said, CAFE is spearheading this effort here locally in Las Cruces, which is wonderful because they are here, they are on the ground, this is their community, and they should be leading this charge. So we're here to support them in any ways that we possibly can. We have been part of these same type of campaigns in Albuquerque and in Santa Fe. So if there's anything that we can bring to the table to make this to make this campaign easy and smooth for them, or to just add insights or any lessons learned, we're happy to help in any way that we can. And CAFE knows that we're with them every step of the way.
Okay. Javier, tell me about the ballot language that is proposed for this in the city of Las Cruces. What the ballot language asks for and asks, of course, in the case of the month of May, is asking folks to sign to get this on the ballot, and then assuming that it is approved, the language is approved, and the petitions are gathered, what voters would be voting on in November.
Okay. So CAFE has the language developed, and this is what they're proposing. It would be a phased-in wage raise. It would begin with $8.40 on January 1st, 2015, then would go up to $9.20 in 2016, and would top out with a base wage in 2017 at 1010, but then would continue to be indexed with the cost of living. Tipped wage workers would also see a raise 40%, which comes out to $3.36 next year. Then in 2016, 50% of the base wage, which is $4.60, and finally $6.06 January 1st, 2017, which is 60%. And that would also be indexed over throughout the future.
Okay, so obviously there's a lot there, and what we'll try to do on our website is to actually post the ballot language along with this interview. But it's more complicated because it's dealing with both folks who are tipped workers, like folks who work as waiters or waitresses in restaurants, as well as folks who are not tipped workers. And it's also more complicated because it is phased in, as you pointed out, year to year. As you know, Javier, in Albuquerque, voters overwhelmingly passed a much simpler ballot measure, a $1 increase in the minimum wage that would be adjusted for inflation year to year. Tell me what you know in terms of this, as to why this approach was not taken in Las Cruces, why there was a little more involved and complicated process.
You know, that's a good conversation, and that debate was also had at the state legislature. The governor, we're not sure how serious she was about it, but she offered kind of a watered-down proposal to raise the wage just 30 cents. And, you know, we're thinking 30 cents amounts to, I think it's how much a week? It's not a huge bump. So, we're talking about serious issues of poverty, and for a family, it just doesn't make the difference we're looking for. So I think that's what CAFE is going for, is we know that there are 18,000, close to 18,000 workers who make less than $15,000 a year here in Las Cruces, and they want to make a significant difference for those families. And, I mean, that's money that comes right back into the economy in increased gross domestic product. They estimate, I think, $10 million would be circulated into the economy that is leaving Las Cruces as a city. And the people that would be impacted by that are 64% Hispanic, 58.5% female, 47% of those workers are under 29, so 53% are adults over the age of 30. So it would be a meaningful change. I think that's why they're shooting for this level, to really inject some serious money back into our economy here in Las Cruces, and to make a difference for those hardworking families.
Marcia, give us an idea of any research that's been conducted regarding voter perceptions on increasing the minimum wage, because, of course, that's really very important in any kind of campaign like this, because if this ballot language does go forward, ultimately it's going to be up to voters in November.
Absolutely. This is direct democracy in action, and this is a process that we really love and we champion. In 2012, there was some statewide polling done in regards to the minimum wage, and this is back when we were trying to raise the minimum wage at the legislature level so that it could have been a statewide increase. And overwhelmingly, 79% of New Mexicans polled on a statewide level, that includes southern New Mexico, it includes Doñana County, it includes Las Cruces, 79% of voters said that they are in support of raising the minimum wage. It has been too long since some of the hardest working New Mexicans have gotten a raise. You know, inflation is constantly going up. The prices of eggs, of milk, of gas, your electricity bills, it's all going up. But these workers, they've been getting paid the same amount of money for far too long. We're seeing so many parents that are struggling with three jobs to try to make ends meet. There's too many families that are saying, do I pay the electricity bill? Do I put gas in the car? Do I get my kids some better type of food? What do we do? And we've got to raise the minimum wage. This increase means so much to hardworking New Mexican families. And it's exciting that 79% of our state has said that they support increasing the minimum wage.
Javier, what do you see as the principal challenges for this proposal?
You know, I've actually tuned into some of the conversations, the great conversations that were taking place at the city council. And we were talking on the way here that, sadly, you hear a lot of the same arguments in opposition. And they really do tend to be fear tactics about, you know, job loss and impact to small businesses' bottom lines. But what we've seen in the research, and this is overwhelming research, this was big at the state legislature, Harvard economist Dr. Sam Bowles took a look at all the minimum wage studies across the country, actually internationally, and it just didn't pan out that, you know, job losses and all the threats about floods of jobs across county lines or it really, I mean, it's an opportunity for a city to pump money back into its economy because 85%, and CAFE has done its research about the Las Cruces economy, that 85% of the minimum wage workers come from the bigger chains, you know, like the Walmarts and the fast food chains. And that's money that would be coming right back into Las Cruces' economy because those workers are going to spend at, you know, local stores. They don't tend to send the money off, you know, to their corporate headquarters like, you know, the big chains do. They tend to recirculate that money right here locally. So Jerry Bradley is another economist from New Mexico Voices for Children who's looked at this issue extensively and provided a lot of research for the state legislative campaigns. You know, looked at the amount of money that would be reinjected into New Mexico's economy, too, and it's huge. Here in Las Cruces, they've estimated about $10 million. So it would be a big boost. Because you're taking money and giving it to the workers versus to the shareholders.
And if I could add to that, when Javier is talking about reinvesting this money in our local community, these are brand new dollars. This is not recycled money. So we're talking about these large corporations that have the majority of minimum wage workers. They're going to be getting an increase of money. This is new money coming into Las Cruces, and they're going to spend that here. We can't drive that home enough. They're not going to fly to Europe. They're not going to go to New York. They're not going to go to LA. They're going to spend that here in Las Cruces.
Okay. Javier, how much, in your view, how much help does this movement get from President Obama's decision to require 10-10 an hour for federal contractors?
You know, I think it's significant. Unfortunately, there's not much hope at the national level with this Congress. So I think we've seen a lot of states take this on all around us and a lot of municipalities. And even just this morning, Las Cruces was mentioned on CNN as one of the municipalities looking at this issue. But I think it certainly helps. I think it's because it's a theme that resonates with people in this country who are feeling the effects of the growing income inequality. And, you know, how corporations are making obscene profits, but that's not making its way down. You know, people think of trickle-down economics, so it just hasn't played out here in this country. We've seen, you know, our economic recovery has mostly gone to the top 1%, and working people are suffering. And you know, it's a growing theme, and people are increasingly understanding that we need to step in and take moves like this to ensure that hardworking people aren't, you know, that the value of their work isn't diminishing. And we've seen that those trends over time that, you know, auto workers back in the 1950s would have been making, I think, what was the amount? It was like $50 an hour. If you compare inflation and compare the loss of the value of work over time, economists say that, you know, unfortunately, people are having to work two or three jobs to afford what they could back then. With just one income. So this is one way to begin to reverse that unfortunate trend.
Anything you'd like to add on that, Marcia, in terms of the impact of President Obama really making a very bold statement to require this wage, $10.10 an hour for federal contractors?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the best things that brought, especially here to Las Cruces, is that this is globalizing this conversation. You know, you can turn on Fox News, you can turn on CNN, you can turn on MSNBC, and they're talking about this magic number, this 10-10 an hour, because this is what's going to make a difference to that single mom that's working three jobs. This is what's going to make a difference to those two working parents that are working multiple jobs. You know, that this is a number that's going to make a difference. And the best thing about this, too, is that, you know, we have our president who was just overwhelmingly voted back into office. So we know that he's got the backing of all of our communities. And he is saying that this is good for our country. This is good for our communities. And here on the local level, I mean, it couldn't be a better push. It's bringing this conversation to more homes, more radio stations like how we're having this conversation right now. It's very exciting. I think it's wonderful. Just recently in Albuquerque, we had the Give America a Raise bus tour stop by, this is a great organization with the folks from United for Change. They went through 22 different states. We really wish they could have stopped by in Las Cruces, but unfortunately they stopped by on their way to Denver when they came to see us. But, I mean, they're going to all these different states, and they're talking about the 1010 federal increase. So it's a great thing.
You know, Javier, as you were talking about income inequality and really the broader issue here of what's happening not only in New Mexico and Las Cruces, but around the country, I think one of the overlooked issues that I think is very, very critical to talk about with this particular proposal for Las Cruces, but also the measures that passed in Santa Fe and in Albuquerque that I think it can't be emphasized enough, is that this legislation isn't a one-shot deal. That what this does is that it takes, if you will, this is my term, I will call it a scientific approach to wages, in that it's looking at cost of living and saying each year we need to ensure that the minimum wage has some basis in how the cost of living is rising. This, after all, is how we are at this point today, where we have a minimum wage that has not raised with inflation at the national level. If it had, many economists say it would be about $10.50 an hour. Different economists obviously use different measures, so you get different numbers. But a general agreement is that it's around $10.50 an hour, had this historically increased with the cost of living. I want to get your thoughts on this, Javier, the importance of this, not only for minimum wage workers, but for all workers, that we are maybe as a society recognizing that this is an important thing to look at, that if you do not increase wages with the increase in the cost of living, our standard of living as a society declines.
That's absolutely right, and you hit it the nail on the head, Fred. It is a serious issue this country needs to look at, because families are having to have two parents work, more than full-time jobs. If you think about what a minimum wage worker makes, it's $15,000 a year, and nobody can support their kids on that. And many of these families have to draw down public benefits, in the form of food stamps or Medicaid, and that ends up costing society in many other ways. And so this is really a movement to begin to hopefully return our country to some of the value of hard work, fair pay for that hard work. At the end of the day, people, who are going out, who aren't sitting around at home, but who are going out and working hard, should be able to feed their families. And we're not asking for exorbitant raises. And meanwhile, what we are seeing at the national level is, Walmart shareholders or the Walmart family, basically their self-worth being equal to 40% of this country. I'm not sure how many individuals that is. It's under a dozen. So this is an important fight, and it's one about valuing hardworking families.
Well, I have to wonder about this. And this is something that again, it's not something that typically is talked about in relation to these stories, or really talked about at all in the media. But I wonder if part of the challenge that we have as a society on this for all workers is that we have a problem with the language. The language says almost exclusively raise. Well, in the past, raises meant you were actually that you were getting ahead, that if you got a raise, and very often it might even be based on merit in some way. And really, there are two issues. There are raises, which most people in the last 10 years, especially most middle and low income people, have not been getting. They haven't been getting raises. And then there are cost of living adjustments. And what this legislation is doing is saying, because wages have not kept up with the cost of living, it has to be in legislation. Because if it's not, history has told us it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on its own. That on its own, there have been widespread failures in having wages keep up with the cost of living.
You're absolutely right, and I think that's the debate hopefully we'll hear some about today at today's city council meeting here in Las Cruces, is that if the city council is looking at just a dollar raise, that in just a matter of time you can look at the math of how the cost of living adjustment or indexing will begin to diminish that raise within just a year or two. So I think that's why CAFE chose this meaningful step with indexing, because I think people are increasingly getting that. 10 states have the consumer price index tied to their minimum wage. Arizona, Colorado, Montana, Nevada, Florida, Missouri, Ohio, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington all made understand that trend and decided to put it in their legislation.
And if I could also add to that, this is when we talk about some of the hardest working New Mexicans not having gotten a raise in years. I mean, we're talking about factory workers. We're talking about construction workers. We're talking about people that do manual labor. And there has got to be, we have to bring back the dignity of work. Hard work deserves fair pay. That's the bottom line. And these people truly deserve to be getting paid the value of their work. This is what this is about.
Okay. Marcia, up north the experience was that when this passed in the city of Albuquerque, in that case it was a $1 increase, but then again, inflation adjusted over time. Then it spread very quickly in that Bernalillo County, our largest county by population in the state of New Mexico, passed that same measure, giving that $1 increase with inflation adjustments, correct?
Correct.
So this is something that I would assume that in southern New Mexico, there would be an expectation that if this is successful in Las Cruces, that it might spread.
I really wouldn't be able to speak directly to that, Fred, mm-hmm. but I think that's a wonderful question. I'm not even sure if CAFE has thought that far at this point. They're really focused on Las Cruces, their hometown, and making sure that hardworking New Mexicans here in Las Cruces get the fair pay that they deserve. But yes, we can absolutely look at Bernalillo County and Santa Fe County. Santa Fe, with their living wage, they have one of the highest minimum wages in our country. And I'm not sure if it was somewhere between 5 to 7 years. I could be off of my numbers. But that's how long it took for Santa Fe County to catch up with the city of Santa Fe. And that just recently happened in early 2014, early this year. And it's wonderful that the rest of these workers can see that same increase in their pay and can also keep up with the cost of living of that area. It's wonderful. Bernalillo County, they also increased the pay at the county commission level for the rest of Bernalillo County workers. And it's wonderful because, it's a little bit demoralizing being a worker and knowing that just across one very specific line that the folks right there are making a little bit more than you are. And you're doing the exact same work. You're working just as hard, and you might be working multiple jobs to catch up. So I'm not really sure what's in the future for Doñana County, but, we can all be hopeful.
Okay. Javier, to kind of wrap up our discussion, as you know, and this is kind of where we began with your statement about why we're in this situation right now where individual communities are taking on the issue. As you know, the state legislature actually passed a $1 minimum wage hike in 2013, but it was vetoed by the governor. Is there any talk of another statewide effort on this, regardless of what happens in Las Cruces?
I think it's something we're always fighting for. At this past session, we were trying to get something on the ballot for November, and it was to be put to voters. But last year, it was disappointing. The governor, in just with one signature, could have given 130,000 people a raise. And on Good Friday, of all days, she chose to veto it. So that was very disappointing. It's a core value for New Mexicans, for Las Cruces. It's just something that people get. If you look at polling or look at just issues that people that resonate with people, this is one that, in the 70s and 80s, across party boundaries, people understand. And so it's something that we just will continue to fight for. And here in Las Cruces, there are many ways to get involved. CAFE is leading the charge. If anybody's interested, their website is www.organizenm.org. They have signature gathering trainings every Monday and Thursday, 5:30 to 6 at the CAFE office. But they're going to be out in the field getting signatures beginning on May 1st. It's really exciting. So we just will continue to support them. And, you know, Las Cruces is a pretty forward-thinking city. So I think they're going to see a lot of support. And you know, we couldn't get it done at the state level, but Las Cruces, that will be a very meaningful success if we can make it happen here.
Javier Benavidez, he is with the Center for Civic Policy. Marcia Garcia from Progress Now, New Mexico. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks so much, Fred.